Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alombo. We're in program number 368. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you at the end of the program how you can receive them. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're absolutely free, including the postage and the handling. Well, we have some very good scriptures today. I'm going to be breaking down things that I don't think you know, and things that need to be brought to your remembrance, because there is special curses on people if they don't remember, and then there are special blessings for people if they remember. So be sure to listen very closely. And another thing too is we have some testimonies and a lot of Bible teaching. We've got some songs as well. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise Your holy name for leading, guiding, and direction. It's so wonderful, Lord, because I was about to check into a place, an apartment, a house, or whatever, and You held me back because of certain things that I don't know of that You do that are happening in the world. And they are, the devil is laying snares for everybody. And a bird brain, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, even a bird knows to not fly into a net. And if there's so many people in this world, they have purchased houses. There's a couple of million that I hear of that are going into they're getting repossessed, and these are people that didn't walk in the Spirit, and there's many millions of others that have done even worse than that. They walked into places, they've gotten into cars and gone down the freeway, whereas if they would have known You, You would have told them, if they were in the Spirit praying always, don't get into that car because you're going to be killed today if you do. Don't go to that supermarket or a restaurant because there's somebody that's going to walk in there and kill everybody in there. Don't let your children go to those government schools because there's people, they've trained people, children. You can see them being trained constantly on television through the media, Satan's voice. All the movies and everything where it shows kids walking in schoolrooms and killing people. And if you were wise and you cared about your children, you wouldn't even let them go to public schools. You'd homeschool them or send them to Pentecostal believing church schools. But, lo and behold, the people just consider your word and your spirit to be nothing. And therefore, when they cry out to You, Father, when their spirits are leaving their body, they're going to be pleading with You, praying, oh God, no, when they see themselves going to hell. And You'll mock them, You say in the first chapter of Proverbs. You mock them and You say, oh God, no. And then they say, please God, and You'll mock them, You said. You'll say, please God, oh please God. You didn't pay any attention to me, and now I'm not paying any attention to You. And I'm really loving to see you squirm, and I'm laughing at you, and the Lord laughs. You'll laugh at them, Lord. You say so. People don't know what the real God is like because they don't like the kind of God that You are. They don't like the kind of God that has righteous indignation and that Your wrath is being filled to the full of the cup of Your wrathful indignation upon people on this earth because they're so evil and they refuse to repent. And this is the real God that I'm telling you people in Radio Land about. Father, I'm telling them at Your request, at Your command, I'm telling them. And Lord, if I'm telling a lie, well then, Lord, strike me dead and send my soul to hell. I would never tell people a false thing. So, Father, I pray that You'll get these points, as You're doing right now, across to the lost, smart-alecky public out there, the no everything who actually really knows nothing type people out there, because you said that they're dead in their sins and trespasses, and the dead, they're dead, and the dead know nothing. They have to be filled with your spirit in order to be able to know the truth, and they have to keep filling themselves with the spirit, your Holy Spirit, on a daily basis, and the way they do that is by reading your word. And not only reading it, but in the book of Revelation it says to not only hear, but do what the word says. Because you, Lord, are the word. And the Lord, and the word in the beginning was the word. And that's at the beginning of everything. The first thing that ever was you, God, the word. And the Word, God, was with God. As a matter of fact, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and came into this world and told us your very thoughts, your very likes and dislikes. And, Lord, it totals up to you hate sin. And you don't hate the sinner, but you hate sin. And if they don't repent, well, then they're going to spend eternity screaming their heads off in hell in the lake of fire. So, Lord, I pray that you pour out your Spirit, open the hearts, souls, and minds of the unsaved, and those that are saved that are slipping away, Lord, that they get back to their first love, because they don't love you anymore, nor do they love the brothers and sisters, and they allow the Nicolaitans to pervert, which is the Vatican, and I'm going to show that to you today. The people in the world today, the Lord saith, and because you hate their deeds and you are sending people into the world, saints like myself, to preach the gospel to the people so that they don't have to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Lord, save souls. I know you're out for us to do that, and strengthen the once powerful church. Make the church powerful again, Father, the real church, the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now here's Jack Holcomb to say something that everybody in this world has to know. You may think there's a lot of people in this world that care for you, but Jack here, our guest today, Jack is in the spirit. He's gone. He went to be with the Father years ago, but he was going to tell you the truth. No one ever cared for you but Jesus. No one ever, 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 not your mother, not your dad, not your grandma or your grandpa, your wife, your children, no one ever cared for me but Jesus. Okay.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No
because of the true fact, thank you very much, Jack Holcomb, because of the fact that the Lord loves us so much, the thing that we must do, the Bible states that we are to become living sacrifices as Jesus was. Therefore, all true Christians today and in the Bible put everything in their old lives away. They put it to an end. These ending powers, that this matter, it's their ending powers, the power that's also in us, proves that this matter is not based on external regulations, rules or regulations, but on teachings, but it happens to us because of the fact that the life of Jesus, who no one ever cared for us like him, the life of Jesus that is living within us. When we're first saved, we don't have a complete knowledge or a complete sense of everything that must be put to an end. But everything of our own life must be terminated. Although I had that sense. It wasn't because somebody taught it to me, because I didn't know anything about the Bible. I knew, you know, that I was sick and tired of the world, just like so many people are today. I'm not the only one. And I just didn't believe that the Lord exists. But when he showed me these signs and wonders, and he talked to me right in, without my ears, I could hear better in my knees and my legs, my arms and chest. My feet even, than I ever heard in my ears. And it was the Lord speaking to my soul that was in me, the man that was in me. And so I was doing promotions for all kinds of people at that time. The young man that was a commercial type singer like the Beatles, only he was a lot of people, he wrote as good as songs to Beatles, and everything I released on him made a hit number one immediately. And so I was just sitting in that business office, because there was a bunch of movie stars and this attorney, Robert Crawford, and many others, and a whole bunch of my people were sitting in that office with me, and we and the Lord talked to me like that. And when that happened to me, there wasn't any concern for anything else in life. I was so happy that God was up on top. above everything and was able to control the very spirit that was in my body. I mean, nothing else meant anything to me. I thought how futile it was for me to go on doing anything in this world. It's just ridiculous. And so without knowing the rules or regulations or any laws or anything of the Lord, I just couldn't think of anything else but to just put my life, old life away. I just started searching. I know you're there, God. What is it that you want me to do? I mean, whatever you tell me to do, now that I know you're there, I'm going to do it. It's so easy for me to put that old life away. You know, like Jack Holcomb's music is so beautiful, his singing, because it's so spiritual. He means what he's saying. And you take people like this, you know, the Rolling Stones, or what are they saying? If they don't get any satisfaction, you know, because, you know, how many times can you have sex and then keep enjoying it? You know, there's no satisfaction because there's no satisfaction unless you know where your soul is going to spend eternity. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, that satisfaction, having sex, you know, it's so bad that so many people are, you know, sick and tired of having sex with women. That's why so many of them are turning to be homosexuals. And women are sick of men. That's why so many of them are being lesbians. They don't have any satisfaction. They don't have any reason to live or die. But when you know for sure, without a doubt, that the Lord is there, and all you pessimists out there may think, just like I did, that no one ever knew, no one has ever seen the other side of eternity. Who's ever seen God? How do you know it's there? I saw Christ right before my very eyes. And so you may say, nah, you didn't. But if you read the Bible and you keep praying, you're going to feel the Spirit of the Lord enter into your body. You're going to know that you're saved. And you're going to know that there's nothing in this world. So that's why everything has to be terminated in our own life. It isn't a thing that's hard to do. Once you meet the Lord, once you feel that Spirit of the Lord, once you know that He's watching everything that you've ever done, that you're doing, and everything that you've ever done, and He's going to watch everything that you do in the future, I mean, how could you possibly be so stupid as to be concerned about anything in this life, when the Bible, or in this world, when the Bible, God's Word, plainly tells us that this world is condemned, it's going to burn, and it's going to happen real soon. God, actually, for over 40 years now, has been sending warning signals from heaven. These flying saucers, which are actually symbolic of Christ and His body. It's like the wheel within the wheel. Christ is in the midst of the wheel, and we are the wheel. We're Christ's body, the Bible states. And it even mentions it in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. It talks about Christ in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and these are the churches, the true churches of Christ, the golden candlesticks. Religions are not golden candlesticks. Religions, they don't preach that Christ must live in you, and they don't preach about putting away your old life. Many people that preach that Christ must live in you with His Father by the Spirit are also telling you that it's okay to live and enjoy everyday life, worldly life, or, you know, they say, well, you don't commit adultery anymore and stuff like that, but they enjoy life. When the Lord in the Bible is telling us to prepare ourselves for sorrow, get ready for persecutions, trials, tribulations, degradations, and all these different things. So they're preaching fallacy. And the Lord says that these are the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and it says that the Nicolaitans are the Vatican. And I'm going to prove that to you today because we have many scriptures confirming that. It says that it sits the devil's church. The devil power church is sitting in the city of the seven mountains, and that happens to be Rome, Italy. And it says that she is sits like a queen, that she's arrayed with gold and scarlet and purple, and she's loaded with gold and silver and all precious gems, and that she rides the beast. The beast is her government, the world government. And it talks about it being a, once the world power, and then it died. And then miraculously in the last days, see, Rome died, it was over with. And then miraculously in the last days, it rises up to be the world power. Because, and the power is given to it by that great red dragon, the devil. And that's where we sit today. And that the media, this satanic machine, was also given a mouth to blaspheme God and exalt the Antichrist, which is the Vatican. Now, they have hired many people to assassinate me, and to they paid huge dollars for people to lie about me, like the Cult Awareness Network. And you see many, many things written about me that are so false, it's unbelievable. And also they're saying, they're paying the networks, a lot of these networks, to say evil things, so many evil things about Jesus, that it is just like a horrible thing. And because of the fact that people don't listen to God, God said that when the people that believe this garbage, worse than garbage, these blasphemies, that when they are leaving their bodies, their spirit is leaving their bodies, they're going to, because God's going to show them where they're going, and that's hell and the lake of fire. And when they see that, they're going to start screaming their heads off, "No, God!" And God says, "I'll mock them." He says, "I'll say, 'No, God!'" And they'll say, "Oh, my God, no!" And he'll say, "Oh, my God, no!" Because you paid no attention to what I was saying. You paid no attention. You figured my word was nothing. And now I'm going to show you. And as a matter of fact, the more you kick and scream and yell, I'm going to, ha, 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 I'm going to laugh at you, you bugger. All of you people in the world that have joined, united yourselves with the Vatican, the Antichrist, its world government, which is the beast, and the media that believes that blasphemy. That's where you're going, and you're going into hell while I'm mocking you and laughing at you. That's the first chapter of Proverbs. You say, "Well, that's the Old Testament." Oh, pick up the book of Revelation and see it's the same thing. And you say, "Well, God, Jesus never threatens anybody." Read the book of Revelation. Read all throughout. Read 1st and 2nd Peter. Read all throughout the New Testament. He threatens people more in the New Testament than he ever did in the Old. It says the wrath of God is going to come down and burn this world to a crisp. And he's going to confirm everything he said in the Old. The Old Testament and the New Testament do not contradict each other. It's the same. One tells you what's going to happen in the New Covenant, the New Testament, and the other is the New Testament and confirms everything the Old Testament says. Amen?
Amen.
And if anyone knows any, if you want to confront me in a debate, I have challenged the Pope and cardinals, and I've debated cardinals, not debated them. I brought the Word of God, and it shut their mouths. They put my, I was on radio. And I was with, I was talking in, they were, I guess, in Wisconsin or somewhere in Chicago. And all of them, they had a button there that they pressed when I started talking, and it shut me off. And then you could hear them talking back and forth and back and forth, and like they were scholars. Those people know that what I'm saying is the absolute truth. The government officials know that what I'm saying is the absolute truth. Even when I was jailed on a bunch of lies, they came into my cell and said, they were real tall guys, you know, with boots on and everything. And I said, "What do you want?" And they said, "We just wanted to come in and meet you." And I said, "What for?" They said, "We admire your tenacity. We know you're right." And then there was a sheriff out here in Los Angeles that said, They told my attorney, Jeffrey Dickstein, and myself, said, "Isn't this fun?" And my attorney says, "What do you mean, fun? This costs a lot of money." He said, "Well, you know, it's fun. We know that he didn't do these things, child abuse and all that, but isn't it fun to be in court and be, you know, talking with words back and forth and everything?" and they dropped the case. And they said that I wanted to kidnap a federal judge. They just love telling lies. Even the Supreme Court of this world, it's supposed to be the United States government, but it's the world government, says it's okay to lie. If we say, this Larry Flint stated that Falwell, Reverend Falwell, if you wanted to call him that, had sex with his grandmother in an outhouse. Well, that's all right, because he's a figurehead. And it's all right to say that Tony Alamo is a reprobate, and it's because it's okay to lie. In other words, the Supreme Court of this world, this land, has said it's okay to lie. So I can't, and so Falwell couldn't help what they said about him. I can't help what they say about me. I just pray that you people, and many of you idiots, don't believe it, because it's geared to throw your soul, okay? Now, I'm just a real upfront, straight shooter of a guy. You know, my life is an open book. I'm not a child. I've never been accused in my entire life, and I'm 72, almost 73 years old this September. I'll be 73. I've never been arrested for any sex crime. I've never been convicted for any sex crime. I'm not a reprobate. There's people that I still deal with that I knew back almost 60 years ago, and they know me, and they say, what are they saying all these things about you for? Why? And I try to explain it to them. You know, the Vatican, I'm throwing rotten and truthful eggs at the Vatican. What else can they do? You know, they can't say, oh, all right, Tony, you know, you win, we lose. They're not going to say that. They're going to fight back only with lies, because it's not against the law to lie about a public figure. Am I a public figure? Well, I guess so. The newspapers have been printing about me for years. For many years, they had me in the headlines and every place. But now they've been ordered by the Vatican, don't. He's smarter than we are, so don't say anything good or bad about him, and don't give him any interviews. And the people that do are now being threatened. And they closed my brother's radio station down. He worked for the station. He didn't own it. And they closed it down because he kept interviewing me. Because they don't want you to hear the truth. They don't want you to hear what they are. And they figure that you're stupid. They call you cattle. Cattle. And even the Lord says that you're like, if you were a Christian, you would even be like a sheep. And the sheep are the stupidest and dumbest animals in the world. They just, you know, but they follow. Jesus said, my sheep listen to me and follow me only. They don't believe all the smut that the Antichrist is saying. But the Antichrist, the devil, is so, he's so convincing, because he can even deceive the very elect of God if possible. If you're stupid enough to listen to him, these news media, this one world government, well, everybody believes them. Not me. Everybody that's going to hell believes them, okay? So you have to read Revelations 2, 13 through 15, Revelations 13, verse 2, Revelations 17, verse 9, where this woman sits. She sits, this woman is a big whore, the Bible calls her. And this is the city of the seven hills, the seven mountains. And this is, she's arrayed in scarlet and purple. This is the Vatican. And Satan gives her her power. But anyway, we've got some testimonials here that I'd like you to hear. There's a couple of them, and then we'll go on further to expose this filthy, satanic, antichrist body that's in this world, powered by that great big dragon, the devil. Okay, go ahead. Where's the first one from?
From Nigeria, Africa.
Okay.
Dear brethren, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For years, your literature have been a tremendous assistance to this ministry and has been touching as many lives as possible, especially the youth on which this ministry has focused over the years, some of whom have become ministers.
Right, you know, the youth, they're listening all to satanic stuff and watching all these satanic programs, and they're being corrupted. If everyone would steer these youth to my radio broadcasts and to my literature, the youth would settle down. They don't believe there's any hope in this world, and there really isn't any hope for this world at all. It's not for the world. There's hope for Christians, though. Great hope, because we become one in Christ Jesus, and we become the body of Christ, one of the members of the body of Christ when we accept Jesus. And we have great hope and peace and joy and happiness in our heart when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our mortal bodies. Our bodies are going to die. But if the Spirit of the Lord with His Father by the Spirit is in us, then when the end of time comes, and it's going to happen soon, that same Spirit that's in you when you die is going to raise you up from the dead, and it's going to take you right into the kingdom of heaven. If that Spirit isn't in you, if you're busy mugging people and lying about people and cheating people and murdering babies, first degree murder, and if you're having sexual intercourse without the virtue of being married, if you're committing adultery with other people's wives or husbands, you're going to hell. You're not going to you'll raise up for judgment, and then within one split of a second you go up, and the whole thing will be read back to you just like a computer, very fast in your spirit, and you'll be slung down into the very bowels of the pits of hell, and death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, the Bible says. Okay, so right over here, why not in the United States? Why only here? Is this Africa?
Yes.
Why are the youth over there following what I tell them? Because they know it's the truth, because they experience the Spirit of the Lord just as I did when I was in that office. And then the Lord showed me many, many visions and dreams, spiritual dreams and signs and wonders. And I've had attacks from Satan, both spiritually and physically, for over 42 years now, ever since I said, "Yes, Lord, enter into my heart." Okay, go ahead.
We still request more of such materials, as we are believing God for our own press, so we can be printing such Christian materials.
Yeah, why don't you people send in some loot over here, or we'll give you the address, you can send it over to them so they can buy a printing press. It sure saves us thousands of dollars for shipping things overseas. And these people are really, they seem to really be on fire. Then what?
Also,
for the Lord. Then what?
Also, we shall not mind if you can give us some copyrights to reprint some of your publications.
Well, no, I will never give up my copyrights, but I will give you a letter giving you permission to print anything that I've ever recorded or anything that I've ever written. You can do that. But I'm not going to give up the copyrights, because then there's all kinds of people putting out literature that is mine, that's partially mine, and then they start putting all kinds of junk mail in there. They change it. Then they put my pictures on there, like they have a picture of me being arrested in Tampa, Florida, for wanting to kidnap a federal judge. But they don't say that I won the case, hands down. All 12 jurors said not guilty, because I proved in the courtroom that I'm not guilty. But you people believe that. You believe the devil. But let me remind you, Eve believed the devil too. And all humanity fell because of that. You better not believe the Antichrist, the devil. He's against Christ. And if you believe in him, you're against Christ too. And the Lord says, "You are my friend if you do everything I say." Nothing what the Antichrist says. But if you are not, you're not his friend at all. There's two classes of people, the saved and the unsaved. And if you want to remain unsaved, that's your problem, my unsaved friends. Okay, then what?
Heaven shall reward you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yours in Christ, Pastor O. Olin Ray Raju from Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, and the next letter, you got another one there?
Yes,
from
Ecuador.
Ecuador, okay.
Multiple blessings to Pastor Tony Alamo's ministries. We pray to God for you from this geographical place of the world. May the Lord continue pouring his infinite grace in all your labors. Thank you for the box of literature that I received. Thank you, because your literature is a very precise and important way that edifies lots of lives in my town. I believe that this new shipment will continue being a blessing to the readers because in them are expressed the words that the high God puts in you. I would like for you to send me audio messages and, if possible, Christian videos with messages. We need them for the families in the community and for the evangelical group of distributors. A million thanks. May the Lord recompense you greatly. Signed, Juan Carlos from Los Rios, Ecuador.
Okay, so these people, you can tell, are desirous of clearing their past. Amen?
Amen.
There are many matters which need to be cleared up in everyone's mind, in everyone's spirit. Yet some people are only conscious of a portion of the things that need to be cleared away. It's true that I learned of a lot of other things after the Lord had dealt with me. I mean, I didn't know everything then. I just knew that the God was alive and very well and the most powerful force in the entire universe. But I didn't need anybody to tell me I had to put any things to an end because I wanted to. In these 42 years, I have never regretted being a born-again Christian, saved, and with this clear conscience. I have never regretted being a Christian. Never. So I went on for many years believing this, and I am more zealous, I believe. You know, I was exceedingly zealous there. But I didn't know the Bible at the time, and I really, God put me together with Susie, my late wife, who passed away in April 8th, 82. This is 25 years ago. I wasn't even trying to keep time. It was just a matter of, Lord, when is the end going to come? Because I had done something wrong. So that's the, at that time, I wanted to know, when is it going to come to an end after I got saved? And I knew that it was coming very soon, so I went to the media and I told them, print it, because I'm concerned about people's soul. When you really get saved, if there's not a concern, a genuine concern in your heart about all the people in this world that God made, and they were, he wanted them to be here, and he wanted them to hear the gospel. If you don't have a sincere desire to get to them with the gospel, then I don't believe you're a Christian. Because that automatically came into my heart on the first day, and I just went to the media and told them, print, the Lord's coming back to earth again. I had no idea. That's what he said was going to happen. So this is another reason, because the Lord is coming back, is that we have to put an end to our past. At least what we're conscious of. And then the Lord will convict us of the other things that need to be put to an end, to put to death. Whenever we are conscious of the amount of the things that we have to put to death, to put away, that we must put away, then we must put it to an end. So, to the extent of our knowledge is what we must put to an end. Don't worry about, oh God, do I know, are there other things? And they'll come up, the Lord will bring them up. Just like the Lord put me on this fast. He told me at first, when I, over 10 years ago, that I must put an end to dairy, all dairy. Because I'm getting up there and I feel better now than I've felt in my life. Much better. And so I walked into a supermarket and I said, my God, this is one-third of the things in this supermarket that I can't buy. I can't eat. Then he said that I have to put, one of my favorite things in the world was beefsteak and beef stew and things like that. That's no more beef. And then he said, no sweets. And boy, I watch everything, that I don't eat any sweets anymore. My diabetes is completely under control now. And so the Lord knows what I need to put away, but he did it in stages. If he would have piled all that on me at one time, I guess he knew that I probably would not be able to receive it all. You know, I might think, well, But he did it in stages, and he did it in a way that I knew for sure that it was the Lord. But as for the things that we are not yet conscious of, we need only to continue to move on in the Lord and to grow in the power of God, in the life of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the future, the Lord will naturally show us things that we are doing that are an abomination to Him. It is at that time that you better deal with it and put it to an absolute cease, to an end. People would throw souls if there are any outward rules or teachings of the new born again Christians that they ought to that they see in us that they don't want to see in the people that say they're Christians. Like, for instance, you see people making prophecies, and then the prophecies don't come to pass, as Pat Robertson has done a lot of things like that. Well, then nobody believes he's a Christian. And then when he was running for president, he wanted to run for president, he was telling everybody, don't call me a preacher. Don't call me a preacher. I'm going to be the next president of the United States. Well, that's... And then all of a sudden when he lost, he says, I'm an evangelist, a preacher, a pastor. Yeah, come on. Now, who's going to believe? I mean, you know, if you want to... I mean, I hate seeing that myself because, you know, he's led a lot of good testimonies on his show, which give credibility to him. But as far as having a good program now and then, but he's now out there professing health. If I wanted to find out about health, strength, and energy, I'd go to Mr. Universe or to Mr. Olympia. I've worked out with Mr. Olympias before, and I, you know, such as different ones. I don't even mention their names. But I had come from the health studio era of Times Rome, but I'm not going to go to a dilapidated-looking man like that for advice on nutrition. He looks like he's got one, you know, that he's not doing so well physically today. Okay. So anyway, we go to the book of Revelation. So the Lord tells the Apostle John, write down and put it in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And he mentions the name of the church, one is Ephesus, and he mentioned the rest of them as well, which I have already mentioned, Revelation 1:11. We are not only supposed to hear the words of this prophecy, the book of Revelation, but the Lord says that to those who keep the things, not just hear them, but to those who keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. When you're able to understand the book of Revelation, the time is at hand. It's no longer that the future, I mean, the time is at hand. The Lord told me, and he doesn't lie, he told me that the Lord is coming back to earth again. That's what pulled me out of what most people think was a fantastic career. I think it's garbage. So, because the time is at hand. It's not really near, it's at hand. Amen?
Amen.
That's not near. That's at hand. At hand means I've got something here that I'm picking up. It's at hand. It's right now. I can pick it up. Yeah? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so that's Revelation 1:13. Even the book. Back even to John, who wrote these things, he said, the time is at hand. It's right now. And I can understand the book of Revelation. I intended to preach it to you and teach it to you. And I've been teaching for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. He stated, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace, which means power, be unto you in peace. Peace of knowing that we're supposed to do that which we're going to hear. That we are supposed to do and that we're going to do it. From him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from that's Jesus, and the sevenfold spirit, or the seven spirits that are one, which are before the throne of God, and from Jesus Christ, the man. Jesus was a man, but he also was God, because God was in him. He's a God-man, and that's what we have to become, God-men and women, who is the faithful witness. There's a lot of witnesses that say they're faithful, but they're unfaithful. And the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. It starts right here, and it's where it states that he, quote, washed us from our sins, unquote. Most people don't even know what sin is because they don't read the Bible. Sins, read the Ten Commandments, and then you'll see what's sin, and there's a lot more too. Disobeying God, not listening to him, because he's going to laugh at you, okay? He wants us away from our sins. He doesn't want us to sin anymore, because he's not going to spill his blood again for you, or me, or anybody else. He says, unto him that loved us, John said, and washed us from our sins, because he will not live in a body that is sinning. So if you're sinning, he's not living in you, senora or senor. He's not living in you, Mr. or Mrs. He hates sin so bad that he shed his own blood. He died and shed his blood, and that has made us the kingdom and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. Now getting to the point here, let's get to chapter 13, or let's go to chapter 13, verses, let's go to chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. Read it.
I know thy works.
Okay, this is what, I read this scripture, I know thy works. Then what?
And where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is.
Okay, Satan's seat, the Bible says, is in the city of the seven mountains. That's where Satan sits. That is the city of the seven mountains. And friends and relatives, that is Rome, Italy. That's where Satan's seat is, right? That's where he sits. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication.
This is what the Vatican teaches. Then what?
So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans.
The Nicolaitans here are representative or symbolic of the Vatican, the Catholics, the Roman Catholics. Now there's a lot of innocent Catholics. They just believe what their leaders tell. And they impress people so much with these huge monasteries and these huge, beautiful-sounding choirs and these chantings that go on. But that never, Jesus or the disciples never did those things. They never were in big monasteries. This is Satan's, this is the imitation church. It's like, you know, imitation. But God is for real. He preached on the mountainsides and on the seashore and to the disciples. And they never had gold and scarlet and purple clothing or anything like that. This is Antichrist. This is where Satan sits, is in Rome. This is the world's largest cult and the most demonic one. And the Lord hates the deeds. He doesn't hate these Catholics, but he hates their deeds. And that's why he wants us to preach the gospel to them. And for that, they want to burn us at the stake, feed us to the lions, put us to death, degrade us, persecute us. They hate us because we pull the sheets and blankets off of them. Then what?
So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate.
See, Jesus hates those big monasteries. He hates the statues. This is against the Ten Commandments. He hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. The praying to Mary is an abomination to the Lord, or to pray to any saint, or to pray to God and God only in the name of Jesus, through Jesus, who is the one and only mediator to the throne of God. When you're saying Holy Mary, Mother of God, and all this, that's a sin. It's an abomination of the Nicolaitans. So God hates those deeds, but he loves you. So he says, drop those deeds, put that old life away, and come unto me, the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Because I love you so much that I died for you and shed my precious blood for you so that you could be washed from your sins. And that I send my spirit into you because I'm the life-giving spirit now, and I will resurrect you from the dead. So that's the first death, is when you were dead, and then I'll bring you to life. But then he says, if you go back into the world and go into your old deeds again, or any other deeds other than what I say, well, then you will experience the second death, the pain of it forever. And then if you don't, then you will not experience any pain on the second death. Okay, then what? Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now Revelations 13, verse 2.
And the beast which I saw...
Okay, the beast is the government that is led by the city of the seven hills, Satan's church, Satan's seat, where he sits down and gives orders to the beast, the world government. He gives orders to the world government and to the media what to say and what to do and what not to do. Then what?
And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority.
His seat. The dragon is the devil, the great red dragon. He gave him his seat in Rome, Italy, Italia. Okay, then what? Now, Revelation 17, verse 9.
And here is the mind which hath wisdom.
Okay, if you have wisdom, you're going to receive this.
The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth.
The woman is the great whore. This is the church, the cult. It sits there on the city of the seven mountains. Satan's seat is Rome, Italy. So repent, all you Catholics, we love you, but we don't love the deeds. The Lord does not love the deeds that you're doing. So come unto the Lord Jesus Christ instead of Mary. She never died on the cross for your sins. And it's an abomination to pray to anybody. It doesn't say pray to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and Mary. It just says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mary is just a Jewish girl that was an incubator for God to bring forth the Messiah into the world. And the Messiah enters into you when you say this prayer. So if you want the Messiah with his Father and the Holy Spirit to enter you, then say this prayer right now. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. I know you will not turn me away, Lord Jesus, because your word says so. Your word says that you're not going to turn anyone away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands in praise and thank the Lord for your salvation right now. Thank him and give him all the glory, because none of us have the glory. We're all saved the same way. I'm saved because I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, not anything. And I put my own life away, and to put these old deeds of the Nicolaitans away, and the Lord loves you, and you'll be saved make sure you get baptized fully submerged in water, because it's not right to be sprinkled with water. The Lord, this is symbolic of his baptism into death. And so you must follow him into the watery grave, the baptism, and then be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And do all these in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways to receive a copy of program number 368.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax for area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. Now, one of the rules for having eternal life is that we are to pray always. Pray without ceasing. A lot of people say, well, Josh, we just can't do that to the letter. No, you just stay in the spirit of prayer, that's all. And, you know, you have to conduct things in the world, but that is important, to pray all the time. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you turn in tomorrow for another powerful message in the Lord. And here's the Life Choir singing Life. Pray always, all throughout your life, the Life Prayer Song.